Well, it appears that some form of evolution has happened. It may not have happened quite the way that you and I were taught in school, or quite the way that we've suspected in the past. Within the last couple of years, in the 2003, 2004, so much new information has come to light regarding fossil discoveries and the theories of evolution that are pushing the dates of human origins back further, further, and further into the mists of time. That new publications had to be released in mid-year just to keep up with all the changes. And one of the most amazing changes is a discovery of a form of human that for all intents and purposes looks just about like you and me, that is much, much older than anyone had ever thought possible in the past. This is the species, it's called Homo sapiens adultu. It's the oldest known representative of our species. It was excavated in Africa's Rift Valley, just outside of Ethiopia, and now dates to between 154 and 160,000 years old. What this says is that the remains of beings that, for all intents and purposes, look just about like you and me, of modern humans that look just about like you and me, have been found that are 160,000 years old. And the question is, if evolution has in fact occurred, then why haven't we seen that evolution occurring in those last 160,000 years? Did we just arrive intact in the form that we are now? Is it possible that maybe we've changed very little? Or has something else happened? Well, there are two theories now that have bubbled to the surface, the primary theories in the studies of anthropology and regarding our origins and evolution. I'd like to share the two theories with you now. I'll ask you how you feel about them. And then we're going to go back and flip from science to the other side, to the ancient texts, and see what insights the texts may be able to give us that we can marry with our science, perhaps to answer the great question of our origins. So possibility number one says that we all came from a common ancestor, and that a long time ago, so we all share some original DNA, and a long time ago, there was a split, and in that split, primates became gorillas, they became chimps, and humankind went off on our own evolutionary path, a long evolutionary process where we developed little by little over time to become who we are today from this less evolved form of life. And if that's true, then the thinking is that there should be fossil evidence all along the way that would mark those different changes. So that's possibility number one, a very viable possibility. Many people, it's very current in discussions with many researchers now. Possibility number two suggests that maybe we all came from a common genetic ancestor. We all share that DNA on the one hand. But on the other hand, maybe we haven't changed so much since we appeared in this world. Is it possible that from that common genetic ancestor, the gorillas became gorillas, chimps became chimps, and we became humans fully intact, fully developed a long time ago, and in fact have changed very little over time? If you'd like more information about all of the studies and the research and the discoveries that came to light just within the last couple of years, Scientific American released a special edition that's called A New Look at Human Evolution, Volume 13, Number 2. It was released in July of 2003. And I'll invite you to peruse those pages for a fast forward in terms of where science is right now between these two possibilities, kind of struggling with this answer. Well, in the year 2000, scientists completed a study that even lent more credibility to the understanding of what we are not. In the year 2000, scientists completed the first map of the human genome. It upset a lot of people in some sectors of spiritual and religious and even scientific study. For one reason is that rather than the expected 100 to 140,000 genes that scientists thought it would take to make a human who we are, what they found is we only have about 30,000. We only have about 30,000 genes that give us the uniqueness and the complexity of who we are. Here's the part that upset a lot of people. Of those 30,000, what they found is that fewer than 300 genes separate you and me from a mouse, or a fruit fly, or a worm. And the researchers looked at one another and said, there's got to be more to it than that. How could we be so very different from a fruit fly or a mouse through only 300 genes? What does that mean? What is it that really makes us different? Well, if we have, in fact, descended from earlier forms of primates, as many of the theories have suggested, the evolutionary theories, then when we look at DNA, when we look at theirs and we look at ours, we should find that we're very closely related. That makes sense, doesn't it? Kind of a genetic archaeology, if you will. Well, a remarkable discovery came to light in 1987, and if you have not heard this discovery, what you're about to hear, I think will fascinate you, may surprise you, and at the very least, you're going to ask, why didn't we hear this in the 6 o'clock news? Why wasn't this on the front page of USA Today and New York Times and every newspaper across the world? And the answer is, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know why this study didn't make the headlines that we would expect. In 1987, scientists discovered the body of an ancient Neanderthal infant, a baby girl of a Neanderthal in a limestone cave in northern Europe. Now, what was so interesting about this body is that it wasn't fossilized, it wasn't frozen, it was so well preserved, the remains could be carbon dated, and she was 30,000 years old. So now, for the first time, we've got the DNA of a being that many people think is part of our evolutionary history, one of our ancestors that we can compare to modern DNA. We can do that now. From this study, let's see what it would tell us. Well, the DNA was still present, and it wasn't until the year 2000 that scientists at the University of Glasgow's Human Identification Center actually tested the Neanderthal DNA against modern human. There was a big study, a big report that came out, very complex. Maybe that's why it didn't make the front page headlines, because of its complexity. I'm going to share with you the conclusion in a single sentence. This is a quote from that article. The article states, it says, the results of the study suggest that modern human was not, in fact, descended from Neanderthals. This is from the original press release published in the very prestigious journal Nature, volume 404, March 30th, the year 2000, page 490. It says, we didn't come from those beings. As a matter of fact, fossil records show that we shared the earth with them. We walked with them. And if we shared the earth with them, we could not have descended from them. Well, in 2004, I was in London on a book tour. Another study came out in London while we were there. A team from the National History Museum of London obtained genetic samples. Now, from 24 Neanderthal beings who have been found very well preserved, and they compared those to 40 early modern humans, and the results were the same. This is a quote. It says, none of the 5 DNA samples taken from the early modern humans contained sequences corresponding to those of the Neanderthals. We didn't come from Neanderthals. So while it tells us what we're not, we have not evolved on the evolutionary ladder from those beings, it still leaves the mystery as to who we are and what we are. While we may have developed separately from the other primates, we certainly share a genetic history. At the risk of sounding a little technical, I'm going to share 2 more pieces of information here. And then we're going to launch right into some of the rarest texts that describe the formation of the human soul and the human body. And then we'll correlate these together and see where this may lead us in terms of the message in ourselves. One of the great mysteries of the human genome is chromosome 2, human chromosome 2. There was actually an entire conference that was convened in Europe in 1991 through the National Academy of Sciences, where scientists could present their findings on this chromosome. And once again, I'm going to cut right to the bottom line, cut to the chase here. The gist of the study simply says this. They were looking at very specific genes little segments of the larger strands of DNA,